Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. When the world is your oyster, when money is not an issue, it's easy to shop for dinner. But when you measure your days and calories, when every slice of bread counts, enjoying a nutritious meal, really enjoying it, seems more complicated. In Ohio, more than 1.75 million people used food stamps to put a meal on the table this year. Many of those people are working. The Mid-Ohio Food Bank reports that one out of five of their clients are homeowners, and the need is spreading fastest in the suburbs. Today, we're going to talk about nutrition in a down economy. Joining us right now is registered dietitian Ashley Koff. She's a regular on the Dr. Oz Show, CNN, and other television shows. She's frequently quoted in an array of magazines, from the Oprah magazine, O, to Prevention and more. Ashley Koff is a contributing editor for Natural Health Magazine and a member of the advisory board for Fitness Magazine. And she is co-author of a new book on nutrition. It's called Mom Energy, A Simple Plan to Live Fully Charged. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Thanks for having me.
Ashley is the featured speaker tonight at the Wellington School's 2011-2012 Enrichment Series. For more information, go to wellington.org. Ashley, in your book, you write that a lack of energy is one of the top five complaints that doctors hear from their clients. Is this all kinds of people saying that?
Absolutely. And sometimes it's not even a recognition that they actually are suffering from a lack of energy. But because the body is a series of energy equations, very simple, when you see patients with diabetes, elevated blood sugar, when you have cholesterol issues, when you have digestive issues, these are all indicators that our energy is out of balance. So you certainly have the complaints of, I can't either sleep at night or I can't wake up in the morning, but also we're seeing energy complaints related to physiologic energy that's not working.
A lot of people are really stressed out these days.
Yes.
They don't, not only do they not know how they're going to get their next meal, they don't know how to get, they're going to make the mortgage. It's one out of five people who are food, are in a food emergency, actually own their own homes.
Yeah.
It's a completely changing. Stress has got to be a big factor in how you digest your food and how you sleep at night. What part of the equation does that hold these days?
Yeah. And, one of the biggest things that are stressing people out is, how do they pay their health care? How do they pay their health bills? And so what we focus on is, if you can correct your energy, if you can listen to the body's at its initial signals, if I have irritable bowel syndrome, if I have acid reflux, if I am having trouble sleeping at night, if we can address it at that stage, we can prevent chronic disease, or we can at least work to lower risk. And stress in the body, whether it's good or bad stress, what it does is it actually turns off our digestion. So think of it as the old days where, basically the body was designed for all energy to go into the big muscles so that we could run away from the lion, right? So it turns off our digestion. And when our digestion is turned off, that means anything that we're taking in calorically gets stored in the body as fat. So we see this total imbalance that's happening. So one of the easiest things everybody can do is improve the quality of the food that you're eating. Go back to the simple basics. If you eat a whole grain, if you eat a whole wheat, if you buy lentils, if you buy any of your beans, your legumes there, what you're getting there is a very rich source of magnesium. And magnesium is a mineral that goes into our cells and actually turns off our fight or flight mechanism. It turns off that stress. The issue is, when we eat white pasta, white bread, etc., it's 80% less in magnesium content than those whole grains. So right there, we have something. Go back to your whole food forms, and you can be working with every bite to actually reduce stress.
Junk food is a big problem, but it's for parents and their children. And you wrote about the 2009 reports about the rise in the number of children with kidney stones and its possible connection to junk food, or junk food, whether it's at a fast food place or whether it's something you're buying at the store. That tells me that this is deep into the society now when you're having those kind of health concerns.
Yeah, my dad's actually a pediatric urologist here in town, and I remember him saying from a very early age, Ash, if kids ate more fiber and if they drank more water, I wouldn't be operating the way that I am. So, again, when we look at how do we afford health care and what are the health care costs today, we come back to, what are we feeding our children? And, so much of it is also inappropriate levels of added calcium to things like waters that are vitamin or mineral waters, or some of the minerals that are added into foods supplementally, as opposed to consuming foods that naturally contain those minerals. And so when we get too much of one mineral and not enough of the other, often those create imbalances in the body that throw off our body's energy mechanisms.
If that many kids are getting kidney stones, and if it's related to diet, which
sure.
probably some of it's not, but
consumption.
Soda is a big thing, but they're not necessarily learning habits then that's going to suit them well as adults either, and that's a big problem. I mean, we're going to talk about it in a little while, but a lot of people don't know how to cook.
Yeah, and it's a very, you know, it's an interesting thing. First of all, what is being role modeled for them? You know, show me a kid that doesn't like vegetables, and I'll show you a parent that isn't eating them. We're not learning about it in school. I had a school recently in Atlanta where the kids sang to me, the song that they were learning for the day was all based on the popular fast food restaurants. So, you know, I'm going to do a chicken and I cluck like that, or here's my favorite pizza and that sort of thing, instead of the apple song, the pear song, the banana song, right? So there, you know, what are we teaching them there? And then I started my career in advertising, working with the advertising for cereal companies. What messages are we sending through advertising? So there's no one thing that is to blame, but certainly what we know is the messaging is wrong. When I have children today that say, "How? What do you mean make a hard-boiled egg?" They literally don't know what a hard-boiled egg is. You know, I have to explain, here's what boiling water is, here's what an egg is, and let's put that egg in boiled water, as opposed to let's drive through somewhere and get an egg sandwich.
You wrote about your days with the International Ad Agency in the book, and working with food developers, and how clients outside the U.S. wanted to talk about how to create healthier options, and how in the U.S. you would be meeting with lawyers for food developers who wanted to know how to say healthier things about the foods without changing the recipes.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting.
It absolutely blew my mind and got me to do what I'm doing today. You know, in the 90s, I was traveling the world and learning about the glycemic index, and here in the U.S. I was told, oh, that's something that they're doing outside of the U.S. That's not something we need to pay attention to. But rather, we know everybody wants more energy from their food. So is there a message that we can apply related to energy for Raisin Bran? I said, absolutely, because remember, energy is just a measure of calories. So the more calories you have in something, the more sugar you have in something, the more energy it will provide. The issue is what kind of energy. And I think we're at an imbalance today because everybody has these energy imbalances, most of the time we're in pursuit of more energy. And what we really need to focus people on is better quality energy. That it's not the best option to now be able to get a Trenti of coffee and put that into our system in lieu of taking a slice of bread and putting some peanut butter, although I shouldn't say peanut butter because now we're running out of peanut butter.
Just doubled in price.
Exactly. put a nut butter or put a,
I bought
you know,
my stash
have an
two
egg
weeks
with
ago.
It. Exactly. I know. Hoard it. You know, so really looking at, you know, I say to people all the time, look, if you don't want to give up your coffee, have a small coffee in the morning. But if you put coffee into your body without any fuel, that is like flooring the gas pedal with nothing in the engine. It's miserable for your body.
You know, I just joked a second ago about I bought my stash of peanut butter a couple of weeks ago when I read about the peanut prices. I knew the price was going to go up, so I was able to go and spend that kind of money doing that. People who are struggling to make ends meet from week to week don't have that luxury. And they also don't have the luxury of necessarily knowing what they're going to, you know, to plan their meals. They may be going to the food bank, you know, the food pantry the next day, or they haven't gotten their food stamps, so they don't your whatever they use now, a card. They haven't gotten that help. They don't know from day to day, and it's not only is it stressful, it's confusing because I have enough trouble when I know that I can afford to get what I want to eat.
Well, and I think part of the issue is, first of all, to imagine that every single food product that exists out there today has a publicist, right? So you have 10,000 new products every year. So alone, we're getting at least 10,000 new messages. And when you have a publicist, everybody is trying to sell their thing over the other. So one of the messages that unfortunately is going to everyone out there is this food today is better for you than that food, and making that, you know, somebody will say to me, oh, should I eat lentils over black beans? Have both. You know, the diets, they're both going to provide us good nutrients. So I think there's a real issue with the marketing side. But you're absolutely right. When you're in a moment and it going into a grocery store, going into a food bank, and if you don't have the skills for cooking, I use the term assembling because I think it somehow feels a little bit easier to people, which is basically just prepare any whole ingredient and then put it all together. You know, so that hopefully will feel a little bit more comfortable to people than this idea of needing, you know, we see all of these amazing cooking shows on television and we think that we're, in order to eat healthy, we have to whip up this, you know, extraordinary meal. But actually, real health is just going back to the core ingredients and putting the core ingredients in front of you. So I actually think that when people are challenged by, you know, having just, you know, saying what are these specific ingredients that are available, they're in a better place from a health standpoint than sometimes when you have all of the different food products and especially all the processed food products that are out there available to you.
Your book is for all moms.
Yes.
But there is a focus on celebrities because that's part of your clientele and your the co-author, Kathy Kaler, her clientele. How do you make your message something that's useful for everybody, really everybody, because so many of the everybodies now aren't in a good position.
And it's interesting to me when we were presented, because we're both quote unquote celebrity professionals, you know, celebrity trainer, celebrity dietitian, when we were presented with the need to or the desire to include them in our book, it was very important to me to include a lot of the celebrities that are in my world. So you'll hear in this book from Myra Goodman, the founder of Earthbound Farms. She used to grew organic lettuce and drove it in her car up and down from Central Coast up to San Francisco and created a global organic food company because that was important to her and for her children. You know, we've got information in there from Arianna Huffington. You know, how does she maintain her health? You know, she talks a lot about unplug and recharge. You know, what did she have to learn? She had to learn she needs to sleep. You know, so to me, the term celebrity runs you know, up and down the board today. And I love that there are so many quote-unquote celebrity moms that are out there who are people who are making a difference every day. You know, I've got a woman here sitting next to me who is at a food bank. That's a celebrity mom. You know what I mean? This is somebody who is helping bring food to people who don't have that food that food access. So how do you make the message relevant? Well, every celebrity that comes in my door is not coming in my door as their character or what they do. They're coming in my door because they either have a health issue that needs to be addressed or they want to prevent health issues and they want to work on their health. So their message and what they need is the exact same thing as what you or I need, what any, you know, mom out there needs or what any woman who chooses is looking to become a mom. And I see a lot of women at that stage as well.
Daniel, on the east side, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, yes. I'm just curious about, since you used to work for the cereal industry, cereal is a pretty strong part of our morning routine for our kids and for some of us in the household. And I'm just curious what we should be expecting in terms of nutrition in cereals. We don't do sugary cereals, but we do like, you know, Cheerios and or Cheerio-like, you know, things, low sugar, just not certain what that brings to our kids.
So are you wondering, Daniel, have we all been brainwashed or is there really something good about it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I saw that there was a film on Colonel Kellogg once that was quite funny.
Right. And a point of full disclosure on that part, I am a spokesperson for Nature's Path, and I do work with a number of cereal companies today, primarily because the first part of it is you want to know what the quality of your ingredients are. So I look for organic whole grains wherever possible. Now, the issue is that when you puff something or when you extrude it is what that's called, unfortunately, you increase its glycemic index or its glycemic load. So, for example, if you were to take a puffed cereal, a puffed rice, for example, as opposed to eating actual rice, it's going to have a higher glycemic load, which means that the sugar is going to hit our blood a little bit sooner, and it may be a negative in that space. However, what you're doing already is perfect. If you're lowering the added sugar content, my recommendation is to choose cereals that are in the most plain form possible. And then what I like to do is teach people to set up a cereal bar, so put out a bunch of nuts and seeds and fruit, and I use organic frozen fruit because of the cost and because of the availability in terms of seasonality. And I put all of that out there. And then I will also usually put out an organic Greek yogurt for those that don't like the dairy, I'll also do an organic coconut or something like that in terms of a milk. And then we can bring that together so you get nutrient balance.
Thanks, Daniel, for that call. We're going to have to take a quick break. My guest, Ashley Koff, registered dietitian and author of of Mom Energy, a simple plan to live fully charged. When we return, we'll hear from the dietitian and director of nutrition for Mid-Ohio Food Bank and also the director of the Clintonville Beachwald Community Resources Center. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and for as little as $60 per year, you can support our station and get some great benefits as well. With a basic membership, you'll receive a member card. It's good for discounts at more than 200 area restaurants and attractions. You'll also receive a one-year subscription to Newsweek magazine. Support the programs you love, just like All Sides with Ann Fisher. Sign up for a basic membership today of $60 or more. Visit WOSU.org and click Donate Now.
Support for 89.7 comes from Marburn Academy, a forward-thinking school for ADHD and dyslexic students, hosting an open house Monday, November 14th at 7 p.m. More information at marburnacademy.org.
53 degrees in downtown Columbus, partly sunny skies today, warming up to a high of about 60 degrees. Clouds tonight with a slight chance of rain, a low of 43. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. Still with us is registered dietitian Ashley Koff, author of Mom Energy, A Simple Plan to Live Fully Charged. Welcome back, Ashley.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Amy Headings. She's director of nutrition for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. Amy is a registered and licensed dietitian. Her areas of focus include developing a skill-based nutrition education plan and working to combat type 2 diabetes in food insecure populations. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Angela Kypriotis. She's Associate Director of the Clintonville Beachwald Community Resources Center. She'll be joining us in the next segment. Amy, at the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, the average client household income during the previous month was $1,000. Mm-hmm. The average client household size is 2.8 people, basically three people. The 2009 poverty level for a family of three was $1,526 per month. So we know that your average client is on as much public assistance as you can get, probably. But out of that, how much is spent on food? Just $1,000 a month to feed, to do more than feed three people, to do everything.
Yes, that's right. You have to do everything on $1,000 a month, and oftentimes the food budget is what gets eliminated when you run into, say, for example, your car breaks down or you have a medical emergency or something like this with your children. Then the food budget gets eliminated or made smaller. And so this is these are many of the folks that we see at the partner agencies that we have, like the Clintonville Beachwald Community Resource Center.
You have a lot of folks coming in to the food pantries that have never, ever, not only been to a food pantry, but dreams they ever would be in a food pantry. They're a first generation food pantry user.
Right, and this would be someone we would consider newly poor, where they've gone from being solidly middle class to either a loss in one of the jobs in the household, or a reduction in hours, or reduction in pay, to the point where they now qualify for benefits.
How does that change what you do in terms of doling out the information people need for nutrition?
Working with the new poor?
Yeah.
It's a different clientele, and a lot of the times with this new population, they're looking for more fruits and vegetables and things like this, which is one of the things that we've had a big push with, is our produce initiative at the Mid-Ohio Food Bank.
And was that client-driven? That people were coming to the food bank and saying, or pantries and saying, why can't we get fresh food?
Well, we recognize at the food bank that fresh produce is one of our best sources of nutrients that we can get, and anything that we can do to improve the nutrition of people using food pantries is a step in the right direction. And so really there's a huge initiative from the food bank end to get as much fresh produce in and get as much fresh produce out as we can.
Are people using it?
We hope that people are using it. Folks, we ask them to take as much fresh produce as you can use. And we do have produce trucks that do travel throughout our service area. And depending on where you go, many thousands of pounds of fresh produce will be distributed amongst communities. And it goes really quickly.
One of the things we were talking about earlier with Ashley is just people. A lot of people don't know how to cook. They just don't know
right.
how to cook.
And we see, and it depends too where in our service area. We have a 20-county service area, and it depends a lot on where in the service area that we are. We find that sometimes in the rural communities, people know how to cook a little more than folks in the urban communities. And so this is a big initiative that we are taking here at the food bank. Is I think as a dietitian, we want to. We tell people what they should eat, but forget about the steps that it takes to get from the whole food to actually a form that I can consume and that my family is going to enjoy as well. And many times folks that use food pantries do not often have the luxury of looking for other ingredients that might be included in
like
a recipe.
They can't bring a recipe with
right,
them and
right.
say, okay, now I'm going to get everything in this recipe.
That's
like
exactly
at the
right.
grocery store. Yeah.
So what you have to do is help people learn how to think almost in a backwards position where they look at the foods that they have available to them and say, okay, how can I combine these foods in order to make a meal that's going to suit what the needs are for my family?
That's just kind of an overall trend, right, Ashley?
It is, and I have to tell you, it's one. We did it as a test when I was in grad school, and it is one of the biggest challenges. I mean, you see whole TV shows built on it today, right, where you're trying to deconstruct
the mystery
and
bag
go that
and,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what would you do? And, you know, there are two times when people make the worst decisions for their health, when they are hungry and when they are stressed. And people walking into your door, that is exactly what's happening. And so being able to provide people, you know, simple tips of literally put all of these items into a bag and, or into a pot with water and a pinch of salt, you know, and teach them that that's going to help them develop the, you know, have the vegetables. But I also think that the challenge is also people understanding, you know, when you have fresh produce, it goes bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, if your refrigerator, if your electricity
yes.
gets turned off, it goes bad. So being able to do things with canned or with frozen and not telling people that canned and frozen are less good for you or less nutrition, because then somebody feels badly about the choice that they're making and they don't end up having the vegetables. And what do they end up doing? But they spend that dollar at a cheap at a cheap fast food restaurant on something that's poor nutrient density.
Yeah, I mean, any vegetable, any fiber is better than
none at all.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
How are you actually teaching people these kinds of things? How's that working?
Well, you know what? We are. Much of the cooking curriculum that I've seen works from a recipe forward. And so we're actually working to develop something that works from foods backwards to a recipe. And so we hoped we're developing that right at the moment and hope to have a test version of that out by next year.
So just give us an idea of what might we see. What will this look like?
What will it look like?
A book?
We hope that it's able to be used maybe as a self-study and also be able to be used as a group teaching format.
Another issue is utensils.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, I've been cooking long enough, and I love to cook. Just give me a fork and a frying pan, and I could probably do a lot of things.
Absolutely.
But to the new initiate, that's not necessarily that easy.
Right, that's right. And so this is where part of learning how to work with limited utensils will also be a part. We hope to work that into this teaching program that we're working on right now.
And again, it's become really difficult because people are seeing, you know, they see these entire stores that are, you know,
right.
if you don't have a lemon peeler, then you can't have lemon zest. Well, I've never used a lemon peeler. You know, I use the back of you take a little knife, you're careful with it and do it that way, you know. So it's this idea of teaching, you know, trying to help people understand that cooking doesn't need to be this complicated process, that their one pot cooking has been famous and used around the world for hundreds of thousands of years. You know, in China, throw it all into one pot with your rice, cook it up, don't even watch it, go do all of your other errands and things that you have to be doing at home and come back to it, and you've got great nutrition in there. So, you know, what I encourage people is anytime you are doing something for yourself and you are not going and purchasing something that is already made, you are going to likely have something that is going to be healthier. So go in that direction. Assemble the ingredients yourself as opposed to, you know, investing the extra dollars in the convenience food or in the heavily marketed food. And I think that's the other thing you'll see in the food bank is, you know, people are purchasing and they're kind of a little bit confused because they're not being told. There isn't marketing on the front cover of these packages telling them what to
how
use.
How to.
Exactly.
They say go online for more recipes.
Right.
I've noticed that, and I think that's a big ripoff.
Yeah.
My guests, Ashley Koff, registered dietitian, author of Mom Energy, A Simple Plan to Live Fully Charged. Also, Amy Headings, registered and licensed dietitian and director of nutrition for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. Questions or comments for them, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Don in Northwest Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Don.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate being part of the show. You got a really great group of guests today, and I'm interested to know what Ashley's thoughts are about the multi-billion dollar over-the-counter drug industry for the acid reflux drugs and how they inhibit B12 absorption,
really
leading to fatigue.
Great question. Really easy answer. The multi-billion dollar drugs for acid reflux exist because we are consuming too much, we're consuming poor quality, and we're not addressing those issues in a timely fashion. Acid reflux, anytime something is going completely in the wrong direction in the body, that is a wake-up call that you need to address what you're consuming and how the body is digesting it. In terms of interference with B12, it's probably a longer conversation than we want to have here, but one of the things to understand is that B12 relies on appropriate stomach acidity and in order for the absorption. And so anything that is blocking or interfering there is going to suppress that absorption. So it's not as simple as some of the drug companies would like you to believe, which is to now take a B12 supplement. It's a bigger issue. You need to cut back on your portions, improve the quality of what you're eating, and actually work so that you take yourself off of those acid reflux medications by naturally getting your body systems to work properly.
Thanks, Don, for that question. Amy Headings, what about the nutritional challenges of a lot of your clients? Many of them have chronic illnesses. Lots of times those are the things that put them in the situation financially that they're in the first place. Diabetes, they have food allergies. Obesity is a major factor. How do you get to know them enough, and how do you help people get to know them enough to help them pick stuff out? It's not just about what do you want to eat tonight, or there's all the fixings here for a good goulash.
And that's where our partner agencies really come into play, because they're the folks that are on the ground and in the trenches doing that work for us. And so right now we are learning what are the best methods to help people with, particularly people with type 2 diabetes, go to a pantry and learn what the best foods are for them. So we have an initiative that we're working on with that right at the moment, too.
But adding to that, the best foods for people with type 2 diabetes are the best foods for all of us. And so
Absolutely.
What we need to keep in mind is that if we reduce our portion sizes, and one of the hardest things for your population is you need to eat at regular intervals. And so one of the ways that we work with... Not necessarily three times a day. In fact, we're a little bit better if we cut our portion sizes and eat at regular intervals every 3 to 4 hours. And so one of the best things that anyone in this space can be teaching someone is take the small amount that you do have and spread it out throughout the day so that you're giving your body... shorter bursts of energy, as opposed to what a lot of people do is they tend to hoard the little amount of food that they have and focus on just having one large dinner together. And they won't eat all day, and they're throwing their blood sugar off. So that, you know, there are behavior modifications, not just food modifications.
Do you see that, Amy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks will tend to hoard food and then have periods of starvation, honestly.
And is it the same thing with children?
With children?
Yeah. Because snacking is such a big part of that.
Right. Well, oftentimes family will forego food to give food to their children.
We have an email from Angel. She writes, what do your guests think of cheaper cuts of meat with more fat content affecting poorer people? Is the solution cooking the meat in healthier ways or draining the fat? Do you talk about, cheaper cuts of meat, that's a reality for a lot of people. Organic isn't necessarily, Ashley, as you know.
Yeah, you know, I look at it and I say an entire package of lentils is epically cheaper than any cheap meat and much, much better from a nutrient value. So one of the things when I'm working at the community level and across the board in the country teaching people to be healthier is to try to choose more plant-based proteins. In terms of your meat, if you are using something that is higher in fat, use it as an accessory and then don't add other fat to your meal. So what meat can do, and I've learned this from chefs all the time, is that it can provide amazing flavor. So if you use a tiny bit of that higher fat meat and add it to your lentils for flavor, you're going to have something that everyone enjoys the taste of, but it's going to be more nutritionally dense.
Amy Headings, what about cultural issues? Maybe the really good thing you have going on that day is cuts of meat,
right.
Cuts of pork, and I know it changes from day to day.
It does change.
Particularly when it comes to that kind of food, and fresh vegetables and that sort of thing. How do you balance cultural, ethnic, religious requirements?
And so this, there are various pantries throughout our service area that serve very many different cultures, and so the agencies that order food from us, will see what's in our inventory then and select foods for their pantry based on what the needs are of the community that they serve.
Ben, I'm not sure if it's our Ben or not, but knows about a website where you put in the ingredients you have and get recipes.
Absolutely.
Again, you got to have a computer, but myfridge.com.
And online access.
Myfridgefood.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
there's multiple recipe
Live
websites
strong
out
is,
there.
Yeah,
all
there
recipes. They
yeah.
have many of those, which are very helpful if you do have the opportunity to go to the library. Anyone can access that. And if you have a list of the foods available in your pantry at home, you can take those, type them into these recipe generators, and then create a shopping list based on maybe other things that you don't have, which helps to budget your money for food better.
Mark, you're working at a food pantry in Fairfield City. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ann. Thank you for a great show today. Ashley and Amy, thank you. Ann, you asked a question just a few minutes ago about fresh produce and how does it get out and get used. Mm-hmm. Today in our pantry in Lancaster, we have beets and apples and potatoes, onions, lettuce, greens, that all came from the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. In fact, just came off the truck yesterday afternoon and this morning. And we work with our clients every day to help explain, okay, how do you cook a beet? How do you cook a turnip? How do you use 10 pounds of carrots in a way other than carrot sticks?
Mm. Right.
Right. This is fantastic. And we just thank you so much for all the work that you do with that, because it's folks like you that are in the trenches there that help people understand, how do you use a beet? How do I use a turnip? Because those are foods that maybe our grandparents knew how to cook and cook them frequently, but oftentimes are out of the vocabulary of folks that are in the younger sector.
Absolutely. One of the areas that I work with also is in southeastern Ohio. And we still have a lot of folks who know how to can. So a couple of weeks ago, when I was back down in southeastern Ohio, one of our clients that had picked up a half a bag of beets and a half a bag of cabbage, which would have been about 50 pounds of each or so, came up to me with a handwritten note and said, look, this is how many cans of beets and sauerkraut I was able to put up for the winter to feed his family of six. And so that's just one of the ways that when the produce comes in, it comes in bulk quantities, certainly, because when it's ready to be picked, it gets picked. But, boy, we can get it out in a hurry.
Good.
Mark, thanks so much. And, of course, you're in Fairfield County. I didn't understand the abbreviation CTY, so silly me.
Thank you, Ann.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Take care. Coming up, we'll hear from Angela Kipriotis, Associate Director of the Clintonville Beach Walled Community Resources Center. Right now, I want to thank so much. Give my thanks to Ashley Koff for joining us today. We really appreciate it, Ashley.
Thanks for having me.
And I said earlier, Ashley's going to be at the Wellington School tonight speaking. If you want to learn more about that, you can go to our website. We have a link for you at WOSU.org/allsides. Ashley is the author with Kathy Kaler of Mom Energy, A Simple Plan to Live Fully Charged. And I imagine we'll have a link to that book as well on our website. Thanks again, Ashley.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, the Great Tech War of 2012. We talk with Farhad Manju about how Apple, Google, Amazon, and Facebook are on the verge of war against each other. Manju's article about this is in Fast Company. He's a technology columnist for Slate. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes, starting at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Narrated by Steve Martin, a banjoist himself, PBS Arts' Give Me the Banjo explores the roots of American music. From the minstrel show to ragtime to jazz, blues, folk, bluegrass, and country, it's a story of America's quintessential musical instrument from its African slavery roots to today. The show features performances from Pete Seeger, the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and more. Watch PBS Arts from the Blue Ridge Mountains, Give Me the Banjo. It's Friday night at 9 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Ohio Department of Health. The Ohio Medical Reserve Corps is looking for medical and non-medical volunteers who are ready to help Ohioans when disaster strikes. More details at ohioresponds.gov.
Join us tomorrow for All Sides Weekend, tomorrow morning at 11, with host Marilyn Smith and a discussion of the best food and restaurants in Central Ohio. That's All Sides Weekend, tomorrow morning at 11. Sunny skies today and a high near 60 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Still with us is Amy Headings, Director of Nutrition for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. Amy, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Also joining us is Angela Kipriotis. She's Associate Director of the Clintonville Beachweld Community Resources Center, overseeing family services, including the Choice Food Pantry, Senior Supportive Services, and the Kids Club After School Program. Welcome to the show, Angela.
Thanks for having me.
I have a feeling that what you do in terms of these are all related, and they're all come back to, in some many cases, food issues.
Yes, absolutely.
How, tell us about how the Senior Supportive Services, Kids Club After School, and the Choice Food Pantry work together.
Well, sometimes the food pantry is what brings people in our doors for the first time, and then we're able to, we always say that we're more than a food pantry because we try to address all of their needs. So when somebody comes in and we're talking to them about food and interviewing them, we find out also that they're a parent who is working and that does need after-school care, so we will refer them to other programs. And if they're over 60, then we can connect them to our Senior Supportive Services program, where we have social workers who can go out and visit them in their homes, because a lot of seniors don't get out or can't get out very easily without transportation and that sort of thing. And we have social workers who are licensed who can go out and visit them.
The food pantries have really turned out to be an important point of first contact for a lot of people that are newly poor, newly struggling in the economy, and they've turned into these kind of clearinghouses for a lot of things.
Yes, we're a settlement house. For those of you who aren't familiar with what a settlement house is, we're a geographically focused in a specific neighborhood, and there's 7 settlement houses in Columbus. Actually, now there's 6. So we're located throughout the city, and most of us do have food pantries and then link folks to other services that are usually all under one roof. Ours are kind of a little bit scattered right now, but we're trying to get under one roof, so that's our goal.
We've been talking about people who are, for the first time, first-generation food pantry clients or food stamp recipients. And how does that change the dynamic for you in what you do?
Well, when we find people that come into the food pantry who aren't already linked with food stamps, which is now called SNAP, we hook them to the Ohio Benefit Bank, which we can do right in our offices. It's by computer, so they can apply for food stamps. And there's 18 different benefits you can apply for on the Ohio Benefit Bank right there in our office, so that in addition to the food stamps, they can use the food pantry. We recommend that they do both, because food stamps are definitely not enough to cover their monthly expenses for food, especially if it's a family of 4 or more.
And particularly if they're near the edge. I think in the paper today, with a caption with one of the photos, the woman said that her husband made $10 too much.
Yes, I saw that. That's a gliding.
And a paycheck.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And yeah, all you have to be is $1 over. It's an eligibility program, so you have to meet the requirements. And those folks are struggling the most. And we have a lot of working families. 20% right now of our families are at least working part time, A lot of folks on disability. We have retired folks living on a Social Security income, which is less than the $1,000 you were talking about. That's about $600 to $700 if they're a single senior living alone. And a lot of times they do own their home, and they live, and we have this Clintonville kind of has the I guess the stereotype that why would people who live in Clintonville need help? And the 43214 zip code is one of the highest percentages of seniors in Franklin County. And those folks own their homes, and their house might be paid off, and they might have bought their house in the 1950s. And for most part, we work with a lot of females. So the spouses have died, and the women are living alone, and they are just living on that $600 a month. And like you said, that's not enough to buy food and pay the electric and pay the gas bills and everything else, the medicines that they have to pay for. So they're struggling. We had 80 seniors out of 900 people that we served in September. 80 of them were seniors.
So roughly about 10%.
Yeah.
Dave and Heath, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a football coach. I deal with kids from sixth grade all the way up to seniors in high school. And the nutritional choices I see these kids make and their parents allow them to make are just crazy. I see them show up first thing in the morning if we're just having something like a film study and lap full of McDonald's. I see them with pops first thing in the morning. And as hard as we work them out, we just can't make any progress with some of the boys.
Because they're not feeding themselves properly.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we got to get their parents on board, you know. Just a lot of demographic victims, if you ask me. Whenever they describe the demographics of people who just don't take care of themselves nutritionally, I think of my kids.
The kids you coach.
Yes, yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call, because it does bring up a good question as far as particularly with people who are new to this, the routine, is what about just something fun to eat? Maybe something naughty. And, we're talking a lot about nutrition, and people have passed a lot of judgment when they see people in the SNAP program, mm-hmm. in the grocery store buying something that isn't, nutritious, mm-hmm. and resenting them for it and judging them for it. How do you deal with that, Angela?
Yeah, there are a lot of judgments out there. And what I always try to help people remember is that just because people are poor does not make them a different species. They are humans. They're the same as me and you. So if I go to the grocery store, I want to be able – we run a choice pantry. So there's a lot of choice pantries out there, and we want people to be able to
tell
choose.
Tell us what a choice pantry is.
Yeah, you get to walk through the selection that we have and choose what you want. Now, that's obviously within reason. We have some criteria where you can't just take 10 jars of peanut butter, but we want you to select items from each food category so you're getting a balanced meal. But – it also means that, you're going to take the foods that you're going to eat. And if you're not going to use a 5-pound bag of flour, then we don't want you to take it because we want that to go to somebody who can bake or who can use it. But a 21-year-old college student walks in the door is not going to very likely go home and bake a cake with that flour.
And that's something you can kind of see and be fully aware that this, you just know that the demographic probably isn't. But how do you know when there's a mom in there picking out food who has a 16-year-old football player she's got to feed? That's a lot more than one person.
Oh, yeah. We do.
That's about three
people. It's by the household. It's definitely by the household size.
And you know who these people – I mean –
Oh, yeah. They give us all the information about all the people and the ages of everyone who lives in the household. And so if it's a family of four, we're going to give them – help them select certain amounts of food. And if they're a family of six or eight, we have a lot of larger families too, especially the immigrant communities. And, we definitely do it by household size. And they each – so it's – we were doing – up until very recently, we were doing 7 days worth of food per month, and we've just actually increased that to 10 days of food per month.
Because
we were able to get more food from Mid-Ohio Food Bank, and it's all produce. That's more of a recent initiative in the last few months, and we've been getting 6,000 to 10,000 pounds additionally, in addition to what we've always been getting. And it's all produce coming from, mostly local Ohio farmers.
And people are snapping it up?
Yes.
More people?
Except for the, which you mentioned turnips a little while ago.
To cook turnips and beets. That's my new thing. They're sitting waiting for me at home right now.
Last week we had asparagus, which I've never seen before, come through the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. So
that's
that was
kind of
amazing.
Tony.
Right now we have potatoes and carrots, which everybody knows what to do with those things. The beets and the turnips don't go as easily. Squash even amazes me sometimes that people aren't really familiar. But once we explain to them, oh, this is a spaghetti squash, this is an acorn squash, or these are how you cook those, they're familiar with the zucchini kind of squashes, but not the others. So we say, cut it in half, lay it on a baking sheet, put it in the oven. We educate people about that. Then they're willing. We'll say, at least try it and don't take it next time. If you take it home, you don't like it, but at least take it home and try it, because I think you're going to find that if you put some butter and salt on that, it's really good.
Do you hand out instructions and things like that for food?
Sometimes we do. Yeah, it depends on what we have. And if we had an abundance of it all came in at once, like the turnips, beets, carrots, potatoes, and onions. And so one of our staff found a recipe for ratatouille, and they were giving that out with everybody who came through the food pantry. That was 2 weeks ago, I think. So, yeah, definitely helps to tell people, what can I do with this? I know what to do with onions, but...
I'm talking to Angela Kipriotis. She's Associate Director of the Clintonville Beachwald Community Resources Center, and also Amy Headings, Director of Nutrition for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank. We have a few minutes left. If you have a question or comment, get them in, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We were talking a little bit about cultural differences and that you can't make assumptions, you can't generalize, but... I know the immigrant community is growing, or it's grown in the last 10 years, and a lot of you're dealing with a lot of that kind of thing. How do you do that down in the trenches, Angela?
Well, it can be challenging as far as language is concerned. This area, actually, where we are right now, is a part of an area that we're starting to serve more, and there are a lot of immigrants over here off Olentangy River Road, and there are a lot of folks who speak other languages. We had 33 different languages represented in 2010, and for us, we're not going to be able to hire people that speak all those different languages, but the primary languages we're seeing are Arabic and French, and so we do have an Arabic-speaking staff person now that helps us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just trying to make sure we take all their food needs into consideration, like you mentioned pork earlier. We make sure to keep the pork separate in our freezers from our other food so that that's not being contaminated for those folks who don't like pork and who don't eat that for religious reasons. So we're trying to just always keep up to date on those kind of things and taking their feedback. And a lot of our volunteers that work in our food pantry are our clients. So we are trying to get more of those folks who are from those immigrant communities to come in and volunteer so they can help us understand as well.
Do you see it changing what the demands are? That they're looking for more of something, then you're starting to try to get more of something because...
Rice and beans are always, one of those staples that the immigrant communities, they are really comfortable cooking those types of things, whereas we mentioned, some of our folks and just regular folks who've come in the past haven't known how to, cook beans from scratch, the hard...
It's a very small part of the grocery store these days, isn't it?
Yeah. Convenience foods.
Is it something that you have a lot on hand at the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, Amy?
It's variable. I see rice pretty often, beans, dry beans, canned beans. It just depends on how much comes in, honestly.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have to buy by the truckload, so mm-hmm. that's always been, the struggles. We have to order based on what they get, and they order based on what's available in the country. Here's a truckload of whatever, and whatever they can get at discount prices. And so we're all, because we're nonprofits and we're all working to try to feed as many people as possible, we don't always have the luxury of, I think, buying the, mm-hmm. We're going to go for the bang for the buck.
We had a caller that didn't want to go on the air, but they said, you can't assume a college student won't use flour to make pasta, but a greased food should go to those who will use it.
Great.
Get the calls in, 614-292-8513. If you want to talk with our guests, Amy Headings, Director of Nutrition at the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, and Angela Kipriotis of the Beachwald Community Resources Center. How do you compete with fast foods and processed foods? Do those still seem to be the things that people will pick up if they can?
Our families are struggling to survive. A lot of times they'll still lean on that, I guess, when they can, but a lot of times, or when they have to, but they're really cutting back. And what we see is that people run out of, they're running out of money, and they're I'm not seeing a lot of people, you know, come through with their bag of fast food with them. But that doesn't mean they're not using that. But what we're seeing more of is that people are struggling to pay their utilities. And so they're prioritizing, you know, they're asking us, do we have cash assistance to help them pay your utilities? And we're saying, well, we don't have cash assistance to pay your utilities, but we can give you food. So I think people are coming to the food pantries first and then using their food stamps to buy the other things they can that they need at the grocery store. That's kind of been a shift.
Because they can't choose what's at the pantry.
Right.
We have a caller. They want to know how to contact Clintonville Beach Wellness Center.
Oh, our phone number is 268-3539. My name is Angela, and I'm extension 225. We've got, you know, all kinds of resources, and we are also on the Internet if you have access to that at www.clintonvillecrc.org.
Clintonville.crc.
No, Clintonvillecrc.org.
Clintonvillecrc.org. We'll post that. We'll post the correct link at WOSU.org/allsides. The number again is 268-3539 mm-hmm. for the Clintonville Beachwald Community Resources Center. What do you need the most right now for those out there that want to know how they can help? And Amy, you know, chime in.
Right. Yeah, we usually ask for protein, and I just see that the peanut butter, the rates of peanut butter went up. It's on this morning's dispatch.
40%.
So the rates of peanut butter, we've always asked for protein items as far as beans, especially this time of year would be soups and those kind of maybe one can kind of meals that are simple, especially we have a lot of seniors. And
peanut butter, tuna, canned meats, fruits, vegetables, the canned stews, that kind of thing are always very helpful.
And people like them. You also do toiletries and that kind of thing as well.
Because you can't spend SNAP benefits on toiletries. So
toothpaste,
those are very important as well.
Toilet paper is one of the,
toilet paper,
the most
diapers.
Requested items we get in the food pantry.
And yay. We will post links, like I said, on our website at WOSU.org to the Beachwell Community Resources Center and also the Mid-Ohio Food Bank so you can learn more about what they do and how you can help and maybe how you can benefit if you need help. I want to thank Amy Headings for joining us. Thanks, Amy, for coming
in
today.
Yes, thank you.
Amy is the Director of Nutrition for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, and also Angela Kipriotis. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Angela is Associate Director for the Clintonville Beachwald Community Resources Center. I want to thank our folks on the staff for helping with a very, very busy week. Producer Linda Taylor, Associate Producer Amy Jurovich, Allsides Production Assistant, Corinne Gleckler, our intern Ben Faith from the Graham School. We have lots of help, and we appreciate it. Radio Operations Director Kevin Petrilla, Senior Broadcast Technician Eric French. Alan DiCenzo is the composer of our theme music. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Dan Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.